too?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be in down at spring training with the St. Louis Cardinals in 1942. I don't know whether I was supposed to be with the club. We had a fellow that was supposed to come back that had an injured leg, Charlie Gelbert, in that year, and he couldn't come back. He was an old veteran. And I was fortunate enough to stay with the ball club and prior to that. And the only thing that, deterred me a little bit in that, my dad died in 1942 in spring training, and I had to come home. Then went back, and I didn't play for about 6 weeks into the season. And then Billy Southworth, our manager, made a change and moved to Jimmy Brown from third base to second base and inserted me in third base, and I stayed there ever since.
Had you come up through the Cardinal farm system?
Oh, yes. We had
Cardinals. Rickies,
The Branch Rickey and Mr. Braden. Mr. Braden was a fine owner. God rest his soul. He was a fine gentleman. And in the Cardinal system, they had a lot of ball clubs. They had a lot of ball players, and they had a lot of good ball players. And when you were on a ball club, you had a really hustle and bear down all the way, and if you didn't, there was somebody right behind you to take your place.
I see. Do you want to comment on anything interesting that happened during the 1942 season? Does anything stand out in your mind?
Well, the real standout in my mind is we had a bunch of young fellows. Stan Musial was with us, Johnny Hopp, Enos Slaughter, and Marty Marion, and but the real standout is the 1942 season, is the World Series, where we went into the World Series. We weren't expected to beat the New York Yankees, that had a real good ball club, but we weren't the type of fellas that say they're going to beat us. We went out there and we hustled all the way, and we beat them in five ball games, which was a great thrill to me and all the fellas on the ball club.
Mm-hmm. Any special recollections about your home run that won the last game?
Well, I don't know about that. It was getting a little dark in Yankee Stadium at the time. And, at ninth inning, and I know Red Ruffing was doing the pitching for the Yankees and a real good pitcher. And I remember the first game, he struck me out four times. And in this ball game, he just hung a little ball a little too high, and I hit it. I made good contact, but the only thing about it, I recollect, was I thought it was going to go foul, but it just landed fair, I'd say about 10, 15 feet, so it made me very happy and made the whole ball club very happy.
Do you remember what kind of a pitch it was?
He got me out on high inside pitches. He was pitching me perfect all the series, and this time he just got it a little bit over the plate where I got the big fat of the bat on it and was able to make contact.
To digress just a bit to the 42 pennant race, there were accusations that the Dodger Club was throwing bean balls that year. Do you have any comment on that?
Oh, I don't think that any clubs were throwing bean balls. We had real battles with the Dodgers, and we had some, fights with them. Our pitchers would say, I wouldn't say bean balls. I think that's a misused word, because I don't think that any pitcher actually throws at a fella's head to hurt him. If he's going to throw at somebody, he can throw at his ribs and he'll plunk him. He'll get him good. But we had our battles. We started. If one club would start it, if we started it, we knocked somebody down, as we say, the other club would retaliate. Then from then on, you'd start playing baseball. But as far as bean balls are concerned, I always contend if somebody throws at my head, I can get out of the way of the pitch. But if he throws at my ribs, say from the armpit down to my waist, well, he'll be able to get me. But I don't, in my own mind, I don't think that any pitcher ever goes out on the mound and tries to hit somebody to hurt them deliberately.
Okay, but do you think that Leo Durocher was ordering pitchers like Higbee and Wyatt to throw
opposition
batters?
Throw, when I say he may have ordered them throw, he would say knock them down. When you say knock them down, that's the high inside pitch to brush them back. And it's just part of the game. I mean, the hitter, he gets up there and starts digging in, and so it'll maybe loosen him up a little bit while he'll throw that high inside pitch. That's the one that I call the brush back.
Okay, fine. May I have your comments on Johnny Beasley? Of course, he won two games in the 1942 series. if I'm not mistaken, 21 games as a rookie that year during the regular season. He was promoted to the starting rotation when Lon Warnke was traded to the Cubs. But after the war, he was ineffective. Why do you feel he was ineffective after the war?
Well, John Beasley was a fine pitcher for us in 1942. Then he went into the service, and I think that John hurt his arm one night. We played an exhibition game. The St. Louis Cardinals played an exhibition game against an Army team that John Beasley pitched for. And I'm if my memory is correct, it was in Memphis, Tennessee.
Do you remember the year?
Was it
close to the end of the war?
I think it was close to the end of the war in 43 or... No, it wasn't close to the end of the war, but in the year about 43 or 44. But it was a cool night, and I don't think that John pitched much before that. He didn't pitch much in the service, and he tried, his best to get his old teammates out. And that night, I think he hurt his arm. And ever since after that, he wasn't quite as effective. Or he couldn't throw the ball like he did in 1942.
I see. Fine. Any comments on the 1943 season? Of course, you advanced to the pennant again, but this time the Yankees turned the tables in the series in 1-5. Lee Allen, who's written a book on the World Series, a longtime baseball expert, feels that a turning point of that series came with an attempted forced play on a bunt at third, and I believe that Lindell crashed into you, Johnny Lindell, forcing you to drop the ball, and the Yanks went on to win a crucial game then.
Well, that's right. It was one of those plays that was a bunt situation, and our pitcher fielded the ball, and he bobbled it, I think, just a little bit. And when the ball got to me, the ball got to me at third base, at about the same time the runner got there, and when I fielded the ball, or caught the ball, Lindell slid into me, and John Lindell was a pretty big man. He weighed about 240, and he knocked me in over teacup, and that was it. He jarred the ball out of my glove, and he was called safe, and from then on, they went in to win. But it's one of those things that happens in a game of baseball, and errors are made, and we forgot it, and next year we come back and won the pennant again.
Mm-hmm. Any comments about the 1943 season in general?
Well, we had a good year that year. I think that in that respect, we won the pennant long before the season ended, and I don't know if there was a letdown or anything, but it's just one of those things. I mean, in this seven-game series, it can go either way. The team that gets hot, can win the World Series.
Okay. Let's pass to 1944 then. The Cardinals got off to a great start that year. They had won, their 90th ball game on a date earlier than any other club in National League history. And some people thought that they'd go on and tie or better the National League number of victories for one season, which was set by the Cubs around, 1910. But then you ran into a slight slump in September and didn't quite make it, but you still finished way out in front of the pack. What were your thoughts that summer of 44 when you were clearly the class of the league? Did the club kind of take it easy? Was it a loose club, or did Southworth keep you, keep the reins tight?
Oh, yeah. Billy always kept the reins tight on all the ball players. Billy was a fine manager. But it's one of those things you can, I don't think that a club, any club, don't matter how far they're ahead in a pennant race, that ever lets up or anything else. It was just one of those situations that the other clubs that you play, they're the ones that really go out and out. It's like saying when a rookie, some of these other clubs, they bring their rookies up, and these rookies are trying hard to make a ball club, and they're really trying to beat the ball club, and they feel too, we're playing against the champions and we're going to really do good.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as letting down, that never enters, and I don't think, into a ball player's mind about taking it easy, because he's out there. He likes his, the hitter likes his base hits, and the pitcher likes to have his ball games won. So I don't think, it's just one of those things. Sometimes things go wrong and you can't win a ball game. But as far as letting down, no, I wouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Any comments on the 1944 streetcar series with the Browns?
Well, it was a series that, when you say streetcar series, we both played in the same ballpark all year long, and most of us, well, we're all good friends, but it was just one of those things that the Browns come up and had they had a good ball club, just as like we did, and the same thing happened in that series that happened in the 42 series when Lindell knocked the ball out of my hand. But this time we converted the play with Blix Donnelly was on the mound, and he fielded a bunt, and we got the guy at third base. And in the estimation of a lot of people, that's the thing that turned the series, turned that series. But it was a great series. We had good ball players, and the Browns really put up a good battle.
Fine. Now, in 1945, the Cardinals got off to a rather slow start. They came up to their accustomed style of playing late in the season, but not strong enough to catch the Cubs. Of course, Billy Southworth's son had died the previous winter, and some sports writers felt that this had an effect on his handling of the club in 1945. Do you wish to comment on this?
Well, I don't think it really hurt. I know it, Billy, when his son died in that plane accident in New York, it really hurt him deeply, but I don't think it had any effect on his managing. He went on and did his job, his so-called good job all the time that Billy did, but I still think that it was just that year the Cubs, they got off to, well, I would say they had the better ball club that year. That would be the best way to put it.
So you don't think that there was any one or two things which would account for the Cards finishing?
No, I don't think so. No, that was just one of those years. I mean, we were hot there for 3 years, so maybe it was time for somebody else to win the pennant.
A lot has been written and said, although you don't hear too much about it these days, concerning the characters, meaning the odd sorts of ball players that popped up during the war years. Do any stick out in your mind?
No, not especially. I mean, I wouldn't call them characters. They were maybe a little different kind of breed. They were, I wouldn't say hellraisers, but they had a lot of fun off the field. But when they were on the field, they were strictly business. Mm-hmm. And sure, I know that they'd pull some practical jokes, or like we did, we always, we had fellows that would give you hot foot, so you'd be sitting in the dugout and they'd be spitting that chew tobacco on your shoes, or somebody was a gum chewer, he'd mash it in your arm on your hair. But it was all in good spirits. I don't think that they did it to do any harm. But it more or less, I think, kept the ball club loose.
Do you wish to comment on any players or managers at all? Anyone that sticks out in your mind?
Well, I played for, in my playing career, I played with, I think, in my estimation, all good managers. My first manager was in a Class D league, and he was from my hometown here. He was actually my playground instructor, Harrison Wickel. Now he's a scout for the St. Louis Cardinals in the West Coast. And my second manager was Benny Borgman from New Jersey. And my AAA manager, well, Billy Southworth was my manager at Rochester, then Tony Kaufman took over. Then when I went to the St. Louis Cardinals, why, Billy was again the manager, and after that it was Eddie Dyer. And they were all fine gentlemen and fine baseball men and fine managers. And as far as baseball players are concerned, I think we had one of the finest baseball group in the country when we had fellas like Terry Moore. Now, Terry Moore was our captain of the ball club, and he was a real leader. He was, well, he wasn't old, but we called him the oldster on the ball club. And you take fellas like Stan Musial and Marty Marion and the Cooper boys and fellas like this, why, in my baseball career, I've been associated with a lot of fine gentlemen, and I still am, and there's nothing like the game of baseball and the people involved in it.
Fine.